What it mean to be the best? Riding folks, feeling unimpressed. Make me reminisce, throwing bows. Been the corner, set my mind up on a goal. All I know is stay down, bad, bad, I'm the goal. Okay, feel like the best, the great. Now there ain't no debate. Okay, feel like the best, the great. Now there ain't no debate. I ain't gotta say much. Know the boy got a touch. Another win, feel the rush. Another win, feel the rush. See me once and got a crush. See you twice and that's enough. Get the ring sized up.
Yo, what's good, Chiefs Kingdom? Kingdom Cast, tell the truth. We back for another one. Episode 43. I'm your host, DG. Here with my guy, CJ. D-Mac's not with us tonight. He had some stuff to take care of, but we are here with you.
We got this.
Chiefs get a big dub and move on to 2-0 in week two, beating the Cincinnati Kitty Cats, the Bungles.
Enjoy that flight home.
Came in the Burrowhead and left with an L. So
again, you know, sucker. That's
26. 26-25. Man, it was a real thrilling game. These games always seem like they always come down to the wire, man. Fortunately enough, I think we'll probably end up seeing them again. I think the 0-2 start for them is something they're probably used to, but I don't expect them not to be in the playoffs. I expect them to be right there at the end with us as well. But man, let's get into the show, man. Initial first thoughts on the game. You know, what was the vibes like? You actually went to the game, so what were the vibes like?
Game was litty. What's your thoughts
on this win, man?
Game was litty. Energy's always crazy in Arrowhead. Anytime the Bungles is in town, you know, it's always up with them. Fans talking trash in the parking lot. You know, we tailgating, giving them the smoke. Walking into your seat, it's always electric. So, you know, anytime they come in town, it's always a good game. Fans were hyped. Everybody was locked in. It was no rain delay this time, thankfully, like week one with the Ravens. So, thank God for that because that was terrible. But, no, I love the way we started on offense. We came out fast, explosive. We moved the ball pretty frequently, efficiently. Then we got to the goal line, got a little stymie right there in their defense. Both of us kind of got stops on those first drives. So, it was good to see us move the ball fluently. Get up to the goal line and make plays, up-tempo, get everybody involved. And also we got Steele involved. P. Ryan got some touches. Pacheco looked good before the injury. So it was good to see everyone get the ball and get involved. But unfortunately, we left the game losing pop. But thankfully, we got the W in itself. And we got good news today. At Pacheco, they said news wasn't as bad as we thought. And me and DG kind of said this on the way home Sunday night. Like, it may not be as bad. So overall, the energy was great. I love what the offense did. Obviously, we need to just be more efficient with our touches, not turn the ball over. Obviously, we can't do that three times to anybody because usually 90% of the time you do that, you lose the game. So that actually does show what kind of fortitude and what kind of resiliency this team has shown for the last 5 years. That no matter what they get, no matter what they go through, down 24 in the first half versus the Texans, three turnovers versus the Bengals on a Sunday afternoon, they figure out ways to win ball games. So energy, you can never – when you watch the game through the team, I watched them on the sideline. I was sitting on the home side in the lower level. It never really changed. No matter how they turned the ball over, you never saw anyone on the sideline arguing or yelling at each other. They say, hey, we just got to figure out a way to make it work. And hearing guys on the sideline say, we got you, when the defense is coming on and off the field, that lets you know what kind of cohesion and kind of chemistry this organization is built on and this team has. Because no matter what they went through, they always figured out a way to just say next play mentality and figure out a way to win the game. So energy was crazy. They were loud on third downs. We were quiet during the offense. Everybody knew what to do. They knew what the assignment was. We had to figure out a way to get a win, and we did that on Sunday for sure.
Yeah. I feel the same way. You know, when you're a championship team, and you won titles before, you figure out ways to win sloppy games. And this was just one of them games where it was real sloppy, especially from the offensive execution standpoint. Three turnovers is something that, you know, most teams, when they turn the ball over like that, they're going to lose.
It happened on Sunday. I think the Niners turned the ball, got three turnovers off Minnesota, and they still lost because usually that's what happens. So,
That's going into it, man. Like I think after that second one, I kind of started thinking, I was like, it's getting a little rough. But Chiefs figure out a way to stay in the game and, you know, keep it competitive until the end. And then, you know, you when you're a championship team, you force other teams to have to play up to that standard as well too, and not make mistakes. And unfortunately, I think the Bengals late in the game made some critical errors that unfortunately cost them the game. So, you know, but it is what it is, man. You take 2-0. You know, that's why I wasn't really dwelling on a lot of the negatives at this point. It's early in the season, week 2.
A lot of football
still left. So I think this team can obviously clean it up and you know, execute a lot better. But I'm just happy they was able to come out with a win. As you spoke to, initial news coming out of the game, Isaiah Pacheco obviously suffered a sustainable injury at this point in the season. It's probably going to be out 6 to 8 weeks is the initial diagnosis, is what we heard from Ian Rappaport. His impact on this team at this point in time, I know, is really felt, especially from the emotional standpoint of what he brings to the game and what he brings to this team. So I know that the team is definitely going to miss that. What was your initial thoughts on hearing the news about, you know, Pacheco going down?
Yeah, I mean, coming back Sunday is kind of – I've been a player, so I've been in those moments, and you never want to hear anybody say they're injured. And obviously when you see guys with a towel over their head, they're emotional. It's an emotionally natural game to be overly, like, emotional after a moment, whether you win or lose, whether you're hurt or you play – have a big moment. So – I kind of like to – my coach has always told me it's never as bad as you think it is and never as good as you think it is until you come in the building the next day and watch the film, or in this situation until you get the MRI. So I know there were a lot of rumors floating around Sunday night or Monday morning that Pop may be out for the year. I was like, bro, we just got to wait to see what the MRI says. And me and DG kind of said those sentiments all night. You never know what's going to happen until you actually see the MRI for yourself. Because just like the week before prior, we thought Jordan Love was out for the year. Now they said he practiced today. DG, so like you just never know what these injuries are like until you actually get under the x-ray and actually get those pictures and images to see what it's like. So they say Pop 6 to 8 weeks. So in Chiefs Kingdom timeline, that's like what we think he'll be back hopefully around December. If not, then hopefully by like the end of November. But they like to be pretty cautious with players, and Pacheco is a big part of our team and our roster going forward. So I would think they probably let him sit out the next 2 months, and hopefully we can get him back for the last 3-4 games of the season, maybe get him a couple reps in before the playoffs start. But if that's the case, we can get Pacheco going back into the playoffs. Excuse me, give Steele and obviously Perine and newly brought back Kareem Hunt back in the building a lot of touches before then. Imagine going to the playoffs. You got that 4 guys with a lot of experience and a lot of running the football, a lot of guys who are physical, a lot of guys who can do different things with the ball. I would love that running back room going into January when you get a Kareem Hunt, Isaiah Pacheco, Carson Steele, Samaje Perine. That's a lot of guys who are physical, guys who fall forward, and guys who can make plays for your team. So I love to have that. But, yeah, I hate that for Pop because obviously nobody wants to play more than him. Andy Reid said in the pressers today, nobody wants to be out there more than number 10. And I know he's hurting for his – not only for the team but for himself, because he prides himself on always being available. But we know how the running back position is, bro. It's NFL stands for not for long, and that's one of the more expendable positions for a reason, because you're getting banged up, you're getting hit so much, and he runs so violently. Like, there's not too many more people in the league who run harder than Isaiah Pacheco. So I'm glad to see the surgery went well today. I'm glad to see him good, but definitely excited to see him go back to getting rehab and definitely getting back right. And we'll look for him. We'll hold it down until he gets back. And we knew, like, when you're trying to make history for a very long time, it's going to be tough to do something like this and try to three-peat, because you're trying to do something that's never been done before. So you're going to have to lose some players. And we've been pretty fortunate for the last about 3 years, for like, so like, what, 20, was that? Yep. Literally, this goes by so fast. 2018 was 6 years ago, guys. We haven't had too many major injuries for this roster outside of Frank Clark's stomach issue we've been dealing with, and we kind of managed that very well. We know Sammy Walker's hamstrings were kind of up and down with us while he was here, but no major long-term injuries during this whole Super Bowl run, honestly. Outside of Mahomes with his knee injury, who he missed, I think he missed 2 starts or 3 starts in 2019 when we won the first Super Bowl versus in Miami. So outside of that, we really haven't had any major injuries on this roster. So we've done a good job of getting guys available and keeping guys healthy. So this is probably the biggest, like, news of injury-wise coming into the season. And we knew coming into the season, if anything would stop us in three-peating, it would be injuries, things that you just can't prepare for. You can't know when guys are going to get hurt. You don't know who's going to get hurt. It's just something you just have to build depth. And me and DG and D-Mac were all in the summer kind of clamoring, wishing Veach would have added another running back, especially in the draft, because there were so many guys available on day three that I would have loved to see. But overall, knock on wood for sure. It's like, mm-hmm. it's like you just can't prepare for injury. And like, we knew it was going to happen eventually, bro. It's like, you hate to see it happen. Like, I don't want to see anyone ever go down, but we've never had any major injuries for this team. So to see this happen, I'm like, I hate to see it for Pop, because obviously he's a younger guy on the roster. We know he's obviously fighting for that next big contract, because him still being on a rookie deal is crazy to say. Him being a top 10 running back still on the rookie deal. But injury is something you just can't plan for. But you just got to manage your roster and bring guys in that can help you manage the load until guys get back. So bringing a guy like Kareem Hunt, I love the move. I'm sure DG will give his sentiments and his points about it as well. But overall, I think we've managed it as best we can so far. And now we just got to keep on just try to win ball games and keep it moving. It's a long season, so got a lot more ball to play.
Yeah, that was the other news I was going to get into. Obviously, familiar faces back in Kansas City. Kareem Hunt signed with the practice squad, wearing number 29 now, so a different vibe for Kareem at this point.
You can still pull that jersey out.
Right. But, yeah, with the news of Pop going down, Chiefs felt like they had to go out and make a move and bring back a guy that has a lot of familiarity in this offense, knows the system, knows the locker room, knows plenty of guys on that staff. Obviously, they're very comfortable with having him back, especially after everything that's happened. So, good to have him back at this point. Feel like it's a big redemption story for him, big opportunity for him to come back and prove that he still got something left in the tank. I think the signing for me, I was really good with, just because I like having guys already in here that you don't have to teach much to, you know. And I know a lot of people will say, well, like, oh, he ain't been here in 5 years or whatever, you know. But like, the system hasn't changed.
It ain't changed that much.
Like, you know, so I know he knows the terminology. I know he knows certain points of where to be, you know. I know he knows how Andy likes to run things and his role and things of that nature. So I'm just glad to have that familiarity. That's what I appreciate about this signing and having him back. May not be the most explosive as he used to be, you know, early on in his career. I think that was kind of the word out of Cleveland was, you know, there was a little bit of lack of explosion, and that's why they didn't really bring him back. But that's to be given, you know, when a guy plays a position at his age, 29, you kind of start to get on the latter part of your career at this point. So only thing, my expectations for him, man, is to come in, you know, run tough, especially between the tackles. You know, he was a guy I felt like always was real good contact balance. You know, ran tough through every hole and things of that nature. I think he can be a good receiving option as well out of the backfield for them, and also do some pass protection stuff for them as well too. So I think this is, to me, it's kind of like bringing in a younger McKinnon, I guess you could say, in a sense of his role. You know, I think he gives them a little bit of change of pace with that room right now of having Samaje Perine and Carson Steele in there as well. So what are your thoughts on having Kareem back at this point?
No, I love it. Everything you said was spot on. When it comes to Chiefs bringing in free agents, especially when it's like emergency guys, they always bring back people that they're familiar with. So Mecole Hardman last year, we brought him back when we're losing our the gap in the receiver room. We needed some help. You bring in guys who you don't have to teach. And when it comes to the middle of an NFL season, you don't want to have guys having to learn a playbook and pick up speed at the same time. It's just two things you don't want to do at once. So having a guy like Kareem, who's obviously been playing football for the last 5 years, he didn't end the season last year because obviously he had an injury he dealt with in Cleveland. But I think people like don't remember like his stint in Cleveland. He ended his last full season with 9 touchdowns. So when he played his last full year, he was productive. Obviously, he's no longer an RB1, like DG said to his point. He lost a little bit of juice. He's had a lot of tread on the tires. And not really too much tread, but just he's just been in the league a long time. Like 2018 was 6 years ago. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So obviously, 2017, I apologize. That was a long time ago for Kareem. So he's been in the league a minute. Obviously, he hasn't been a starter the full time, but you're just playing football for a lot of years, man. Your body naturally goes through it. And every player can't be as explosive as they were when they're in year 6, 7, 8. So once you get up and a little long in the tooth, you lose a little juice. But obviously, he can still catch the ball on third down, DG. I love that. He still can pass block. He's great in pass pro. Those are the two biggest things for me that I love. I know he's not going to be an explosive runner, and we don't need him to be. I just need you to be able to protect Pat on third down, know our protections, and can you catch the ball when we throw it to you to get a first down in a screen pass situation? We don't need you to run 40 yards downfield like he used to be. We know that was the player he was when he first came into the league, but if you can protect Pat on third down and they can trust you in pass pro and you can catch – and Jet McKinnon wasn't really that explosive the last couple of years either. He just was great in pass pro, and he caught the ball, and he was able to move around and wiggle and find his way to get first downs, and he had a streak with 9 straight touchdowns at the end of the season 2 years ago, which was crazy just because he knew where to be in pass pro and they could trust him to catch the ball. And I believe Kareem Hunt can do those things. I don't need you to be a 100-yard rusher or go out there and run for 60 yards. Just be dependable, be a guy we can use in certain situations, and we can manage the room until we get Pacheco back by the end of the year. So I love the signing, like for every reason you said. Knows the offense. He's familiar with what we do. Obviously, everybody on the team has, well, at least from the guys from that roster who were here, have a good rapport with Kareem. We know it didn't end well off the field-wise, which we hated to see. But from a football standpoint, nobody ever really lost contact with Kareem. There were some reports coming around today that he was even in Mahomes' wedding. So, obviously they have still have a good relationship with him and a good rapport with Kareem. It's just, you know, business was business, things that we can't control. But from a football standpoint, Kareem's always been a productive player, whether it's been here or in Cleveland. So you can't tell me Kareem Hunt can't help the room. He's not the same player, which is kind of like a duh statement. So you even saying that is kind of irrelevant to what I heard on like the radio and from people on social media today. Obviously, we know he's not the same player. But can he help this room? That's an obvious yes. And every reason that DG said is the reason why they brought him back. So I love it. I'm excited. It's good to see him get a redemption story. Disney couldn't write a better story than this. I'm happy for my dog. I didn't want to see him leave in the first place, but I understand business is business. But to have an opportunity to redeem yourself, not only on the field and off the field, right back where it all started, this is a great story, man. I love this for him and for the team, for sure.
Yeah. I think the one biggest thing that he kind of helps with, and something that I think the Chiefs kind of have been sort of struggling with this first 2 weeks, is definitely down in the red zone area.
Need a little punch.
Seems like, he has a nose to find the end zone at all points forward. In time. Yeah, and I love that it gives them another threat. That's why I say I kind of compare it to Jed McKinnon. Jed McKinnon was kind of really good for that role as far as the chemistry with Pat, especially down there when, you know, things get kind of wonky and you got to kind of improvise and make a play or whatever. I think Kareem can do some similar things down there in that area and kind of help, especially having that chemistry between him and Pat. So glad to have him back in the city. I know he's happy to be back in the city, you know. So vibes are definitely high. But we're gonna switch back to the Bengals game. We're gonna talk about our offensive standouts. Who from this game do you feel like you took a lot from the offense, and who impressed you in this game?
Offensively, I mean, coming into the game, I mean, we kind of said last week was gonna be a similar role, like. Guys are going to double team Travis Kelce, so I didn't really expect them to have a big yardage year this year, just because other guys are going to have to step up, and we expect them to with their development. So it's been number four, man. I'm going to say it once. I'm going to say it again. Big foe. Stop playing with Rasheed. Rasheed Rice is proving he's going to be a top. In my opinion, I think by the end of the year, he's going to be a top 15, top 12 receiver. That's how good he is. Like, I could see 1,200 yards type season from him, 100 catches, obviously, things of that sort, because he's just that good. He's explosive after the catch. He led the league in yards after the catch for most of the season, I think, to the last couple of weeks when we set him out in a Chargers game. So he's just super explosive. He has a nose of getting first downs and finding that yard marker and getting across the line, man. And obviously, his down-the-field explosiveness has developed. So we're throwing the ball more to him down the field, which me and DG and everyone was screaming for last year, just throw the ball down the field because he can run. He's not the blazer that obviously Hollywood or Xavier Worthy is, but can he make plays for 20-plus yards down the field? He did that. He caught a 40-yard touchdown, and obviously Pat threw an amazing ball, put it on target, but that's the kind of explosiveness that Rasheed Rice showed through this offense. We haven't even really used Travis Kelce, which is crazy to say we're going into week three. We haven't even had a Kelce game, which we could get this week because teams may respect more what Rasheed Rice has done for the last 2 weeks. So I think he had 100 yards his first week, and this past week I think he finished with 70. So almost 200 yards in the first 2 weeks. That proves how good Rasheed Rice can be in this offense. So yeah. I'm excited for him and everything going forward. So he would definitely be my biggest offensive standout for sure, because everyone else kind of made some mistakes or didn't really have no grand moments. But, yeah. Number four has been a workhorse for this offense, man. I expect that to be the same.
Yeah, offensively it was a kind of a rough day for the Chiefs, and that's always, I guess, kind of expected against the Bengals.
Lou Anarumo, man. He's good.
The matchup, yeah. Lou Anarumo is always, man, much respect to him. Wow, he gives us a lot of fits.
Facts.
You know, a guy that I think really makes this offense stay patient and mm-hmm. really have to play a game that they don't really like to play, and that's boring.
Facts. That's what he wanted.
I think the Chiefs have been able to over the years adapt and do a little bit better job of playing at that. Obviously, it would have went a lot better had they not turned the ball over. But, you know, unfortunately, sometimes out of your control a little bit, you're going to make mistakes in this game. This is going to happen. Offensively, I think, you know, I think it's, you spoke to it. It's the only person that really stood out to me was Rashee Rice. I think his emergence is really helping this offense click. And I think a lot of teams are going to really start to game plan and key in on him, which is going to open some things up. It'll open some things up for Xavier. It'll open some things up for Travis, especially when teams really start to see on film that, you know, we got to do something to stop this guy at this point. So I do want to speak to a little bit of negative part of the offense. Kingsley Suamataia. Rough day at the office for the rookie. Obviously,
get better.
An All Pro and Trey Hendrickson and man, he got absolutely whooped the whole day from quarter one, from the first quarter until the fourth quarter. It was pretty bad, almost to the point where Andy had to make a switch and put Nwanye in there for the last couple series. So I think that was more conducive to just the mentality and you know, his mindset at that point to kind of calm his nerves and things of that nature. I think that's why Andy ended up pulling him out. Obviously, he's obviously not helping you out that much either, but I think to kind of tame the psyche and the confidence he has right now, I think that's the reason why Andy went ahead and made the switch. But as far as what you've seen, you know, watching film and stuff like that, what do you feel like Kingsley can be better at and change going into this week?
Yeah, I think from a run blocking standpoint, he's a physical guy. He's super athletic. His open up step is great. He knows how to punch and get guys off the ball and move them, and how to use your hips and how to be explosive out of his stance. From a run blocking standpoint, I think he's fine. The biggest thing for any young rookie left tackle and heavy on rookie left tackle is just getting to your set and then punching. That's the biggest thing. And obviously when you have guys like Trey Hendrickson and obviously the first week we faced the Ravens, who don't really have a premier edge rusher because they let go of Jadeveon Clowney, and Kyle Van Noy left that game early. So there was really, like, their biggest player on D-line was Matabike, who was a D-tackle for them. So he didn't really see too many explosive players at the edge position week one. So, and we knew coming into week two he was going to struggle. So for anyone that's, like, jumping off the bridge to DG's point or to someone that's like tripping, like, bro, we expected him. Trey Hendrickson had 17 sacks last year. If you think he wasn't going to have a good game against Kingsley, you're fooling yourself. I fully expected him to struggle. So the fact that he gave up a couple plays and Nwanye got in there, we said all summer and all camp that he's going to give Nwanye a chance to play. Now, obviously, it would have to be in moments where if Kingsley struggles, because they gave Kingsley the job for the ones most of camp. But the fact that Nwanye got in, I wasn't surprised at all. We've been in this position before where we had Donovan Smith, we had Orlando Brown Jr. We've had to have multiple tackles play given the moment of guys struggling. So it's going to be a learning curve for Kingsley. Eventually he'll get it down pat. The athleticism is there. He kicks very well. He just has to, when a player can become to your circle and they come into your bubble, as an offensive lineman, you're taught to punch. He's kind of hesitant on his punch right now because he's waiting for the linemen to know what move they're going to make. And that just comes from, you know, film study, feel of the game, knowing what to do and how long you're playing. And the more reps he gets, the more comfortable he'll be. Obviously we had the situation last year when Donovan was struggling for a while, but then towards the middle and the end of the season, it kind of teared off and leveled off, and he became more of a consistent player for us. And I expect the same thing from Kingsley, but going against a guy like Trey Hendrickson, who's great off the edge, he has a great first step, he can speed rush you, he can bull rush you. Like, he had almost 20 sacks for a reason. Like, Trey Hendrickson is very, very good. He's actually underrated, in my opinion, for, like, premier edge rushers. We always talk about, like, Micah Parsons, like, T.J. Watts, and obviously Nick Bosa. Trey Hendrickson's up there with one of those guys. And he had a year last year for a reason, which nobody really talks about because Bengals lost Joe Burrow. But he's a very good edge rusher. So I'm not really holding that against Kingsley. That's one of the premier guys in the league. He's going to make a lot of guys struggle this year. So I expect Kingsley to be better. But I'm glad that Nwanye came in and was ready to play. Obviously, the big man touchdown is amazing to see. So I love to see that. But I expect Kingsley to have a lot of – I know, hey, he's going to get paid a lot of money for sure. He wanted a new contract too. That is true. Because him and what's the other DM for Big Al? Hubbard, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hubbard and Trajan both want a lot of money from Cincy. They got to pay a lot of guys over there. I don't know how they're going to do that. But, yeah, I fully expected Kingsley to struggle. I expect him to get better. Yeah. More reps, the better. It's going to level off because, obviously, this week he has to go against Judon. So he's going to move around a lot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it doesn't get any easier because we have a lot of good edge rushers on our schedule. But it's only going to make Kingsley better. We said the same thing about our DB core 2 years ago when we had to face the Chargers receiver core with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. We had to play the Raiders with Devontae Adams, newly signed. We had to play the Bengals. We had to play, obviously, not the Rams that year, but we had to play the Eagles that year. We faced some of the best receiving cores across the league for the last 2 years, and we thought our DBs weren't ready for the moment. And Josh Williams and Jalen Watson and Trent McDuffie and Snead at the time he was here proved to show, hey, with time, with technique, and teaching from our defensive coaches, they got better. And I fully expect Andy Heck, one of the best O-line coaches in the league, to get Kingsley ready for the moment each and every week. It's never going to get any easier, but you're only going to get better as well for these moments. So it's going to be a learning curve. It's going to be tough, but running the football is going to help him. Getting the ball out of our hands quick with our quick game is going to help as well. So I'm not surprised Kingsley struggled. I fully expect him to get better, but he owned it up in the locker room. I love to see him admit to his mistakes. Like, hey, you whip my behind, I got to get better. It is what it is. Ain't no crying about it. And I know as fans, we're going to be emotional regardless, but you kind of got to think in the head of a player. If you mess up, it's the next play. If you had a bad game, it's the next game. You can't really dwell on it because it's over. Ain't no point of crying about it. The only thing you could do is work and get better. Watch your film, correct your technique, and come in ready to go next week. Because we're going to need Kingsley this year, no matter what. So no matter how you feel about him, guys are going to have to get better and improve. So having a bad game doesn't mean you're a bad player. It just means you had a bad day at the office. And we all have bad days at work. It's just how do you respond to those bad days shows what kind of character you have. And I fully expect Kingsley to respond this week for sure.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I love, after the game hearing, him speak on it and kind of owning up to it and realizing that, like, hey, I got to be better at this point. I got to go back, watch the film, watch my mistakes. I think that speaks to how much he wants to be here and also wants to win and play for this team and what, and the impact that he wants to give to this team. I think the one biggest thing he really struggled with was playing alongside with Chip Help. And it was something, even in the Ravens game, I kind of noticed going back and watching the film that he tends to overset a little bit. I don't know if that's because at BYU they may have left him on the island a little bit more. And he was probably able to handle, with his athleticism, and so, especially at the college level, that may be a little bit easier to handle, at that level. But when you get to this level, it's grown man football. I think on Sunday, man, he just ran into a grown man. Trey Hendrickson is a dog, man. He's a guy that I've been a huge fan of for a while now. So even when he played with the Saints, I felt like
Saints, he was very great player,
very very underrated. I actually wanted the Chiefs, like I said, to sign him.
When
he hit the market, fortunately he went to the Bengals. But I was always thoroughly impressed with Trey Henderson's game. I think that a lot of people sleep on him just because of he doesn't have the same, I guess you could say, aura as a Mike Parsons or a T.J. Watt or Myles Garrett and obviously most of those guys are best players on their own respective teams, mm-hmm. or whatever. I think he tends to kind of get put towards the back just because that team already has a Jamar Chase and a Joe Burrow and the T. Higgins and, all those other guys. Yeah, mm-hmm. on the team. So I feel like he kind of gets pushed to the back. But, shout out to him, man. He's, as Kyle spoke to, he's sneaky athletic. He's
damn good,
very quick off the line. He's got damn a plethora good. Of moves. And I knew it was going to be a tall task for Kingsley to kind of, go up against. But at the same time, I thought there were some reps in there that he
wants handled his own.
Yeah. But then there were points in times, especially on crucial downs, third downs, where he really wrecked the game and gave us a lot of fits. So I know Kingsley
never talk about your wins. They only talk about your losses as a lineman. They never talk about what you do well. They only talk about when you give up plays.
I think Kingsley would definitely go back and look at that film and put it into his memory bank and then forget about it and move on to this next week and this next challenge that he has coming up. You got to have short-term memory at this point. This league goes fast. So, you just got to realize this is probably your welcome to the NFL moment.
Get it out the way.
And you just got to embrace it and keep going with it, you know. So we're going to move over to the opposite side of the ball, the defense. Chiefs defense, obviously, I feel like they had a pretty good day, you know, as far as what they were able to do. It's only so much you can do to contain that Joe Burrow Bengals-led offense. I think they did a great job against Ja'Marr Chase and covering him up. I know a lot of people are out there saying, oh, all y'all did was double team Uno and blah, blah, blah. Like, bro, when you're a top five receiver in this league and when you're one of the best receivers in this league, you should expect to get double teamed a lot, especially when you know, a guy like T. Higgins on the opposite side, who's obviously, you know, a great number two in this league, out of the game. So
he only had 40 yards. What y'all expect? But like, I didn't really understand the whole tight end comment. Like, when he had his face. Like, what is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, that was something I was trying to tell people in the spaces. Was like, this league it's a pick your poison league, especially when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. You gotta, you know, take what's given to you. Yeah, you're not gonna stop everybody, like, you know. And we've obviously seen when Ja'Marr Chase has big games, we lose.
He goes off,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, first time we went up there, played them against them, 266 yards. He set a rookie record, and obviously we walked away with an L that day. So I think for Spags, this game was really focused on, with T. Higgins being out, stopping Ja'Marr Chase, making sure he doesn't wreck the game, and then, you know, trying to maintain and control, even though you know you're going to give up some plays from time to time.
Naturally.
Yeah, and doing that and giving that effort at that point. The tight ends for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mike Gesicki, Mr. Skedaddle himself.
Yeah, Mr. Skedaddle gave the Chiefs some fits. Obviously, this is a point going around in Chiefs Kingdom that, you know, defense is kind of struggling with the tight ends at this point in time. What would be your suggestion, or how you feel like they can alleviate that kind of pressure off the secondary to you know, be better at covering tight ends at this point?
No, you broke it down perfectly, bro. Like, as a D coordinator going into any game, you have a top priority. Who's the number one player you have to stop? When teams come into our game, it's usually Travis Kelce. How do we take him out of the game? To DG's point earlier, they may start pivoting towards Rasheed, which if they try to roll and cover to his side, it's going to help Travis Kelce get open. So guys work off each other. So coming into the game plan, I already know the number one guy on their top of their priority list was Ja'Marr Chase. So our job is to stop number one and not let him have a big game. And obviously, since that 200-yard game he had in Cincinnati 3 years ago, when obviously Sutton was still our coach, that was a terrible game. When he went off on us and we were blitzing the entire day, which I don't know why we did that. Since that day, he really hasn't had any big games against us. I think the most yards he's had since that game have been like maybe 60 or 70. We've kept him in pretty much check. And 43 yards on a Sunday with Drew McDuffie putting the seatbelt on him most of the game, that sounds like you did your job to me. So when you come into a game plan and you take your number one threat off the board, you've done your job as a defense. So everyone who's saying we are struggling against a tight end, like DG just said, that's strategically what we're supposed to do. Who do I want catching the ball seven times? Ja'Marr Chase or a tight end? You can have all the catches you want, Mr. Gesicki, because you're not going to beat me. You may have a couple explosive plays here or there. I think he had that one play in the first drive when he got down to the goal line. But outside of that, he really didn't have too many crazy explosive plays on it. Because Ja'Marr Chase can take a 5-yard or a 10-yard route and take it to the house. Gesicki's not going to run away from our defense. So that there's a point and reason why we're letting tight ends get the ball. Zay Flowers had a good first half against us in the Ravens game. What do you do in the second half, DG? Essentially nothing. Yeah. Right. Ja'Marr Chase had a couple of plays throughout the game, but when you finish with 40 yards, you essentially got locked up. So from a wide receiver one standpoint, or as a threat and one to any offense, my job is to take you out of the game. So Spags did in the defense, given what we did as an offense, we gave them three extra possessions on the field that they had to be out there, even more time of possession for the Bengals. They did an exceptional job of keeping us in the game. They won us the game, essentially, like they did last year and like they did years before. I'm never going to complain about them playing how they're playing the tight end. They're not struggling. They're doing what they're supposed to do and taking away team's best options. It's just in the Ravens game, Zay Flowers is our number one target. Well, outside of the run game, Zay Flowers is our number one target. So I'm going to allow Likely to get a lot of catches underneath. But underneath catches doesn't mean you're beating us. You're getting a lot of underneath catches. So like we say every week, the box score doesn't tell the full story. You can end with eight catches, DG, but if four or five of those were all 5-yard like slants or flat routes. You didn't really beat me. We just gave you short routes and you took it, which is what you're supposed to do as a quarterback. Take it until you get bored with it. And Gesicki had a couple of plays, but Gesicki's never going to beat you in a football game. Jamar Chase will. So anytime we come into a game and Jamar Chase has less than 50 yards, I'm taking it every day of the week. I don't care who else touches the ball. Because if that guy's not on the field and no T. Higgins, we're going to win the game, even despite the fact we gave the ball away three times. So Spags had an amazing game plan. Shout out to him. Shout out to Coach Mary, Coach Cullen, getting the boys ready. We got a lot of pressure on Joe Burrow, which I love to see. Turks had an amazing first 2 weeks. We got home a lot. But from a defensive standpoint, the guy I want to give a big star to was Chamari Conner. He had a big task the last 2 weeks. He's probably going to have a bigger task even this week as well because he has out of all the DBs and a guy who has the most responsibility, I believe it's him. He has to play a lot of different roles. He's going to play slot for us this year. He's going to play nickel safety. He's going to play deep safety. He's going to play all over the field for us because we trust him to do that role so we can allow Trent McDuffie to cover a team's wide receiver one. So I love how Chamari Conner played. Obviously, he gave up a couple plays and almost had a pick week one. I wish he would have caught for his own stats. But Chamari Conner has been such a versatile player for this defense, and we preach versatility as an organization, even more so as a defensive player. So I love everything he's doing for Spags, whether it be blitzing, making tackles in the open field, covering tight ends, covering receivers. Chamari Conner has been the biggest standout for me so far because he's doing everything we need for this defense. He's easily our big joker right now, and we're playing him everywhere, and he's playing like it for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking to the tight end point, I'm perfectly fine if Jamar Chase is only going to have four catches for 35 yards. I'm fine with them giving up whatever they gave up to Mike Gesicki, Eric All Jr., and whoever else, Drew Sample, whoever else they were running out there, you know.
Have fun.
Yeah. To me, it's kind of like a game of pickup basketball. You always got that one guy that he can't shoot or whatever, so, you know. We man up, we double team somebody else, and, you know, we'll live with that, you know. He make one, fine, you know, whatever. But we'll live with it.
He ain't going to do it all game.
He ain't going to do it all game. So I kind of felt like that was the game plan that they kind of came in with, was, you know, hey, if we get to a point, you know, what we're going to do is block their best player, make sure that he doesn't beat us, and basically dare them to beat us with, you know, somebody else. It's kind of surprising to me because I expected the Bengals to run the ball a little bit more than what they did. But they really didn't try to get Zach Moss involved as much as I thought that they were going to try to do, especially
– more Chase Brown. They barely touched the ball peripheral.
Especially with T. Higgins not being here and being and going down. I thought – Chiefs, you know, obviously did a good job. I mean, the kid from, I can't say his name, from Princeton, obviously had two touchdowns. But, you know, that's another thing that we'll live with at this point. Trent McDuffie, to me, I know a lot of people questioned last year, why is he an All-Pro? How did he get All-Pro over certain other guys or whatever? And I think you watch that game on Sunday and you realize, like, you know, when he's lined up solo, on an island with Jamar Chase, especially in the red zone area, and he bats the ball down or he keeps Jamar Chase bottled up, that's why he gets to be all pro. You know, that's how you become an all pro in this league. I thought he stood out a lot to me. I think he's naturally turned into one of the best cover corners in this league. His technique it amazes me how well-sounded he is technique-wise, and I think he just never seems to panic, never seems to get flustered by his matchup or anything like that at this point. He said it before the game. He said, Jamar Chase is a great player, but I'm a great player too. So I love the confidence that we're hearing from Tutu at this point. I know a lot of people were skeptical about, you know, what was going to happen when LeJarius Sneed going
all pro Yoshi baby.
Bosh. Yoshi Bosh.
Yeah, Yoshi. They call him Yoshi. Yoshi Bosh. Yeah, I can't say
that. Yeah. That guy.
Number eight, light skin.
Shout out to him. He had a great game.
He had two touchdowns.
Great game. But yeah, Trent McDuffie is obviously, I think, is turning into a top five corner in this league. And I think a lot of people still sleeping on him and don't realize like how actually good he is. Like I said, there was a lot of skeptics, a lot of thoughts about when L'Jarius Sneed leaving this team and how well was the secondary going to play. And I think the secondary is in good hands as long as Tutu is healthy and he's out there on the field. So really big day, I think, from Trent McDuffie. He's got another matchup, you know, obviously in Drake London this weekend to kind of go out there and see what he can do. But a little bit different guy. But proud of him, man. Proud of what he was able to put out there on the field. And I think that defense is rolling. Strength of the defense to me right now is the defensive line. They continue to have another good week. Mike Pinnell, I think, is a really big low-key signing
that
a lot of people don't talk about. And I think he's helped with that run defense as well. Turk Wharton is healthy as can be, and he flashes a lot out there on the field, especially in some of those run fits. I know he's more predicated to be a pass rusher at this point, but he's been phenomenal also in the run game as well. I think Derek Nandi also had a good game as well too. Mm-hmm. They really clogged the middle of that line and kept the Bengals from really having any explosive plays in the run game as well. Drew and obviously Nick as well. Drew had a play that he shot a gap and stopped Zach Mawson, in the backfield for I think a 3-yard loss or something like that. I've never seen anybody shoot a gap that fast. So love the way this defense plays downhill. I love the fact that they're so good and
DG, make sure they talk about that too. Y'all keep saying Nick Bolton don't cover, but teams ain't running the ball on us, DG, and they ain't talking about it enough. And I don't like that, DG. I don't like that.
I understand Nick Bolton has his deficiencies in pass coverage. He's never been a great cover guy. So I don't know why anybody
even at Mizzou, so what are y'all expecting?
Yeah. I don't know why anybody expects him to go out there and be this, all world cover pro linebacker or whatever. Like
exactly.
Nick is literally out there. He gets people, gets us lined up. He's got great leadership. He plays downhill. When we're running the ball or when teams are trying to run the ball, fits the run very well, knows where to be on that defense. So I think the pass coverage thing, argument really gets on my nerves just because it's something we all knew he wasn't elite at all. And I think that's why they brought in other guys at this point to kind of alleviate that. Drew Tranquil, to me, I feel like he has to be a little bit better in pass coverage. That's something that I think he can thrive in. But Leo Chanel has been a revelation for this defense. He's been a Swiss Army knife for this defense. I've seen Spags be able to put him in multiple positions on the line, off the line. Hell, even Andy Reid is starting to use Leo Chanel on offense at this point. So his role is definitely expanding. Leo's probably been the best linebacker that we've had on this team through the first 2 weeks. And I love the fact that he can do so many different things in this defense.
Everywhere, man.
It's going to help, especially down the stretch. I know a lot of people were talking about, oh, man, if we would have had Willie Gay back for this game or whatever, we'd be a lot better in pass coverage. And I don't necessarily think that's true. I love Willie, and I think he's a great player as well, too. But there were points in times, even when he was here, that
he got lost for sure.
He got lost in pass coverages as well, too. I just think, man, there's some linebackers in this league that they're great at both sides of doing that, stopping the run and pass coverage. And then there's some guys that just not as great as that. That's why they play linebacker.
Exactly.
So, defense, man, continue to keep doing what they're doing. They got a tough matchup going up against this week, going against that Atlanta Falcons offense. So we'll see what we'll jump real quick right now to week two, kind of your takeaways around the league. What games, other games intrigued you, or what were you watching on Sunday and then, early in the day or whatever?
I mean, obviously there was a lot of good wins. Saints going into Dallas and whooping up on them. It's not really shocking because we saw Green Bay, I don't know if you can call it an upset because it's Dallas, not trying to take shots, but to have the Saints go in there and get punched on at the crib, it kind of looked just like that Green Bay game in the playoff. You just let a team come into your building after you're coming off a win, and to have Dallas and you let Derek Carr go in there and throw almost a clean game, like one of his career games was how efficient he was with yards and completions. It was not necessarily shocking, but it was just – I was just kind of surprised. I expected Dallas to play better, but for you to just come in there and let Derek Carr move the ball up and down the field on you, I'm like, well, if you can't stop Derek Carr, it's going to be a long year for you. It's not going to get any easier. So that game was definitely surprising. The other one would probably be not really necessarily a shocker, but the game our opponent obviously this week is Atlanta. Atlanta came into Philly. Philly's a really good home team. They don't lose at home really often too much like we do either. So they let Atlanta come in there, and Kirko walked them down for a game winner. DG, I did not. No. I fully expected him to turn the game off. Not going to lie. I know Los is going to see this. I'm sorry, bro. I'm not hating on Kirko. He's a great veteran quarterback. He's a starter. He's definitely one of the better top 12 quarterbacks in the league. But I didn't think he was going to go out there and walk. I thought he was going to lose that game. He's coming off an Achilles injury. Didn't really have the best end of the season or start to the season last week versus Steelers at home. And the way he played, I was very impressed. So I was glad to see the way their offense looked. I know he's been trying to get back and get healthy and be able to be on the field and be available for his team. So that was impressive to me. I didn't expect them to win that game. I thought Philly would control the clock and kind of milk it and kind of get out of there with a win. But Saquon dropped the ball, you punt the ball away and give teams life, and this is what happened. So
yeah,
it's a very, 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 very surprising to see that game. I definitely thought Philly had it, especially the way they ended the Philly, or not the Green Bay game in Brazil. And the way that Jordan Love and the offense moved the ball up and down the field, I would thought they would come in there highly motivated to not let Kirk Cousins go in there and do that. But he did the dang thing, bro. He walked down them off. So I don't like Sirianni either, Kyle. You ain't never going to hear, like, too many good things coming out of my mouth about him. But in that game, they should have won that game. Like, I don't like Sirianni either, but we can call a spade. Philly should have won that game. They dominated on a run game. Yeah. Saquon had an amazing game first half. And overall, rushing and receiving, he had a great game. So there's no reason they should have lost that game. But you can't drop the ball in a central play. You should have ran the ball, essentially, in my opinion. But if I do throw it to you, you got to catch it. So you can't drop the ball in big moments. But those are probably the two biggest takeaways for me. So there were some other ones, but definitely those two for sure.
Yeah, the Saints and Cowboys game, bro, I was sitting here watching Sunday Ticket with my wife. I'm keeping track of, like, my bets and fantasy and stuff like that. And I think I got Alvin Kamara in two leagues.
I do, too. I had him, too. Right? Shout out to AK.
And I honestly took – I want to say I was kind of upset that I had to take Alvin Kamara because I didn't really know which Alvin Kamara we were going to get this year, you know, or whatever. So I look up, man, and he scored once. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, he scored in back-to-back weeks. This is, you know,
I'll take that.
Scored again. Damn, he scored again.
Hey, boy, you may be on to something. All right, boy.
So he had three touchdowns by that time, and I'm like, bro, if he scored again, like, this is going to be – and he scores again. So shout-out to Alvin Kamara, man. Four touchdowns against the Dallas Cowboys, man. Dallas, I think speaking to Chuck's point, man, they suck at noon. They do not like playing afternoon games.
What is that? Mental block at 12 o'clock for the Cowboys.
Yeah, they are definitely not awake at 12 and the
3 o'clock afternoon. Or later for them.
Yeah, 3 o'clock or later for them. I feel like should be a suggestion for them from this point forward.
Jerry,
but, that Saints running game was just gashing them the whole day, and then, you know, obviously Derek Carr was able to, you know, hit on some big plays down the field. I think Rashid Shaheed had a big play, I think a 70-yard
bomb
to him. Shout out to the New Orleans Saints, man. They through the first 2 weeks, they've put up, I think, damn near over 90 points the first 2 weeks or whatever.
Back-to-back 40
balls, back-to-back. So, definitely impressive from them. I speak to your point as well about the Falcons and Eagles game. Wasn't expecting Kirk Cousins to walk down Philadelphia Eagles at that point in time. Still do not understand, and I know you got to make the play. I know you got to catch the ball. You know, but
Saquon, you got to do that, bro.
Why are you throwing? Why are you throwing? Third and three. With the clock running, you just run the ball.
Keep the clock.
Yeah, like the clock is your friend at this point. Run the ball. keep it simple. Even if you don't
if you get it, you still
like even if you don't get it, you still burn some time off that clock exactly. Or whatever. Were they in field goal position at that point?
They were pretty close,
right? You know, so it's either you get the first down or you don't get it. The clock's still running. I don't think Atlanta had any timeouts.
They did. They burned all three of them. So that's why you should have ran it.
I just feel like I know people were saying, you know, Saquon's got to catch it, but Nick Sirianni has to make a better decision in that moment to run. Just be simple and run the ball, man. Like both. I don't really understand it, but man, week two was really really interesting. I honestly think our game was probably the best game of the week. At that point, a lot of blowouts, a lot of upsets. Vegas definitely cashed in this week off a lot of y'all.
Boy, oh boy.
Because I know a lot of people took a lot of the favorites this week, but a lot of underdogs end up winning. So we'll see what the trend is going into week three this week. I'm gonna take a wild guess, and I'm gonna say that a lot of the overs in this game are probably gonna hit.
A lot of points. Outside a lot of Thursday games, but that'd probably be a lot of And I got some good props for y'all this week on when we do our little betting segment. But we got a lot of good props this week. I figured out a little sneaky trend that y'all may like. So,
right, let's real quick get to before we get to the betting segment of our show. Let's just get to Chiefs versus Falcons storylines kind of going into this week. It's week three. Sorry, I know it says week two on there, but week three. Going into this week, Chiefs obviously head to Atlanta for a Sunday night football game against Kirk Cousins. In that brand new stadium. I believe this is the first regular season game for Patrick Mahomes in that stadium.
In the bins.
So what are your initial thoughts, you know, going into this game? How confident are you feeling?
Feeling good, man. Patrick Mahomes' numbers indoors are very, very good. Obviously, he loves to play indoors. Controlled environment, you don't really got to worry about the wind or anything. So, I expect any kick that Harry gets, he's going to knock those through like he usually does. He's been nails all season. I say Patrick Mahomes have a big day. It's going to be a fun game going against that defense. They got a lot of good safety just like we do. Jesse Bates, and obviously they bring it in Justin Simmons right before a training camp doesn't even make sense to me. I don't know how they pulled that off. But shout out to Atlanta for an office. That's an amazing move for them.
Patrick Mahomes, killer.
Man, because I don't know what it is with Justin Simmons, man, but Pat can't stay away from that kid. And I hate to say it, but, I mean, if you wanted to take Patrick Mahomes for an interception this week, I couldn't talk you off that end, brother, because the numbers support it, the film support it. When Justin Simmons is on the field, he just knows how Pat thinks. I can't explain it. There's no football reasoning. I could push you off that ledge to say he won't do it. Justin Simmons just has a nose for the ball whenever he sees 15, so. It is what it is. He's a good player. Obviously, he's one of the best safeties in the league. So it's not like I'm really saying anything out of turn. He's a really good safety. He's easily a top three safety, in my opinion. So they're really good on defense in that secondary. A.J. Terrell's been playing solid football for them. Gave up a couple plays versus Philly, versus Smitty. But outside of that, he's been pretty good this year so far, even though in a small sample size, being only 2 weeks. But from Atlanta's defense, obviously, they're going to rush with Judon. They're going to line him up over Kingsley a lot. I expect them to be over there and try to give him some fits. And they're going to try their goal is to keep us in second and long and third and long as well. But we have to do a good job of being proactive and running the football. We have to establish a run this week, whether it be with Steele or P. Ryan. So we have to be able to do that. It is what it is. I fully expect them to probably blitz us to prove, hey, can Xavier Worthy beat press? Can Rashee Rice beat bracket coverage? Is Travis Kelce looking old, air quotes, per se? They're going to test us a lot because they believe in their secondary. They believe in their defense. I looked at some stats for, like, coverages played a lot. Atlanta plays a lot of single high, like a lot of cover three, cover one. So they're going to test us a lot, kind of like what we've seen the last couple of years. So they're going to force us to beat them downfield. And I fully expect Andy, Nagy, and Pat to be in the lab cooking up good plays to try to find explosive ways to get Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy down the field this week. So I fully expect that to be in the game plan. But, yeah, everything starts and stops with the run. We have to be able to establish the run somehow. We can't just throw it all over the yard and make it easier on defenses. So Steele's going to have a bounce-back week. And he ran the ball pretty well outside of the fumble. Like, Steele got first downs. He looked good. He was aggressive. He was falling forward. He did everything he wanted to do. He just put the ball on the turf, something you can't do. So, obviously, as long as you hold on to the ball, 4 points of pressure, learn your principles, correct your mistakes, and move on, we'll be fine. Obviously, Samaje Perine's going to be our third down back It'll be interesting to see who they activate this week because we know Clyde is obviously still on IR. So I would think they would bring up because they cut somebody today as well. I think it was he Bailey?
Who he they didn't have to make any corresponding moves because they already had roster spots available. Mm-hmm. They brought up Cole Christensen, they also brought up Keontae Ingram off the practice squad.
Oh yeah, the old Arizona running back. Yeah,
we brought him back. Yeah. I would feel like Andy did speak in his presser today and said that there may be a possible chance that Kareem may go this weekend.
If he's active, I wouldn't be surprised if he's active. So.
Yeah, but I think Keontae is probably going to take over that RB3 role at this point. He's been here through training camp, kind of knows the system. So I feel like they'll probably give him a shot to see what he's got at this point in time. But, yeah, the Chiefs still have an open roster spot still available with the, I believe, with the injury. Oh, the Hollywood Brown injury.
That's the IR spot.
Another spot. Yeah. And then, yeah, obviously them putting Hendershot back on the practice squad, kind of open some things up. So they can still – they still got a little bit of wiggle room as far as that roster spot. I think that's the reason why they're kind of keeping that open, maybe to see if Kareem can be up to speed and they can get him up, on the active roster as well, too, without having to make a corresponding move.
Exactly.
But yeah, I fully expect a better game from this offense this week. Although I respect Raheem Morris and the defensive play caller that he is, I don't think he shares the same philosophy as Alou and Arumo. I don't think that he's as adamant about is running the same coverages that kind of give us some fits or whatever. So I do, like you said, I think we see a lot of cover three, single high. I think they trust their safeties to a certain extent. And I mean, you can't really blame them for that. Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons have obviously proved, in this league that, they can be trusted back there. But I think for this week, it kind of opens a little bit of the middle of the field. So I would expect 87 maybe to do a little bit more in this game and have a little bit more of a role in this game besides just being a decoy. I think, the Chiefs will obviously get their shots down the field, especially with Xavier, especially with them playing single high at this point in time. So I expect a little bit different game plan from the Falcons. I think last week was just an anomaly that Lou Anarumo knows.
He's good, man. He's one of the best in the league.
Yeah, we're going to play cover two, Tampa two, and stay in that and make you stay patient and just beat it,
Facts.
I don't really see Raheem Morris being that kind of coordinator. I think he's a lot more aggressive. I think we'll see a lot more blitzes and things of that nature. And we all know when you blitz Patrick Mahomes, what happens?
Usually get burnt.
Yeah, so. You usually get beat or whatever. So I'll be intrigued to see how patient Raheem Morris is willing to be. But I just don't think that's something that's in his DNA and how he likes to coach his team at this point in time. I think he's going to try to come after us, especially seeing that, our rookie left tackle struggled last week, and that may be a weak point on that offensive line. But I fully expect Andy Reid and them to have those guys ready and ready to go and make some big plays. Hopefully we get to see that Xavier Worthy, Patrick Mahomes connection this week and bombing a couple down the field. And then I think Rashee Rice has kind of shown that he can be somebody that can kind of stretch the
Four
field.
Four got some wheels, time. Man. Four got a little speed.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna lie.
From time to time. So, I fully expect a different game plan this week from the Chiefs offense, especially in a dome. I said it today in a space. I know a dome. Hate to see Patrick Mahomes.
Boy, that dome gonna be rocking.
He's I think his record is 13-1 in dome stadiums. So hopefully he can go out there and make that 14-1 this time. And he literally has some of his better games when it's perfect conditions indoors or whatever. So I fully expect big play 15 to show back up. Let's move to the defensive side of the ball. What do you think are some of the key points for the defense this week facing Kirk Cousins in that Atlanta offense?
Bijan, Bijan, Bijan. Everything starts and stops with number 7. He had a lot of big plays for the Falcons on Monday night versus Philly. He's one of the best backs in the league. He's the top 3 back. He can do everything. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. They line him up in the slot. He can run the ball in between and outside the tackles as well. He's like Christian McCaffrey, but younger. Like, anything you ask Bijan to do, he can do it. So he's a very, very, very good player. And we're going to have a big week. So it's going to be a lot of similar things. Nick Bolton, Drew Tranquil, they're going to have to stop the run on early downs. And then we're going to have to earn the right to pass rush on third down. And when he's in the slot or when he's motioning out of the backfield, Drew Tranquil is going to have to be on him. Or Shamari Conner, whoever our slot defender is, and have to be ready for his matchup. He's a very good player after the catch. He can make a lot of guys miss. I was very shocked to see him get stopped on that for the fourth down or third down, that stop with CJ Gardner-Johnson got in the Philly game. A guy like that usually runs over. So that was very intriguing for me to see. So I expect to see when, I wonder what he's going to be like in that moment if he meets that somebody meets him in the hole again this week on Sunday night. So I'm excited for the matchup for sure. Drake London is a very explosive player. So is Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts hasn't really had any big games the last couple weeks. He's kind of been pretty average, like 3 catches, 1 or 2 catches. Hasn't really gotten a lot of work. So I don't know if it's the coordinator for them that they brought over with Raheem Morris. Maybe they're not getting him involved as much, or he still looks like the same player out of Florida to me. He looks like Kyle Pitts. But to go from 1,000 yards his rookie year, and you look at the last numbers the last couple of years, and the quarterback play in Atlanta has been awful. So I'm not blaming him for anything. He just hasn't been involved as much as I want would like him to be. So if they're not really making him a priority in the offense, that makes our job a lot easier. So for all of you, we can't cover tight end people. Maybe this may be a good week to take Kyle Pitts on the unders, because he really hasn't gotten a lot of work the last couple of weeks. Even versus Philly, who's very bad in coverage, he really didn't have a big game. I think he had 20 yards he ended with and a couple of catches. So if he's not getting off against that secondary, playing the Chiefs in our defense with Spags and Coach Mayer, it's not going to be any easier. So I fully expect us to handle him very well, because as most teams have done this season. But it all starts and stops with number 7. And obviously Drake London, they're going to test him. But coming off a game that Trent McDuffie did versus Jamar Chase, I'm sure he's very excited for the opportunity to go against Drake London, another good young receiver in this league, like DG said earlier. But there's nobody I want on the field more than on a number 1 than 2-2. So, and I think this may be a week, DG. Maybe Trent doesn't have to travel as much. You got to say we don't respect Drake London, but obviously he's not on the same tier or level as Jamar Chase. Like, you never want number 1 for the Bengals touching the football. So obviously if Drake London is in motion or moves on each side of the field, they may let Jalen Watson or they may let Josh Williams have that opportunity. And trust me, I know before everyone starts yelling at me, I know Josh and Jalen have had their moments where they struggle. I get it. But you have to let guys grow. You have to trust them to make the plays or be in positions to make the plays. So obviously both of them are better zone corners than they are in man. And I think it's also predicated on what type of receiver you're going against. So who are we going to see this week, DG? We're going to see Drake London. We're going to see a lot of Darnell Mooney for them as well. So Meek as well. So
Ray McCloud was in
there. Ray McCloud, who's like a former returner, so he's not really a true receiver. So it's not the most talented room that you've seen. So but I'm excited for the opportunity.
I agree. I'm definitely excited for an opportunity. I think this is a game where our defense can be a little bit more aggressive than they were last week.
You can definitely blitz Kirk over, show.
Yeah, obviously blitzing Burrow, and I know. I think there was a stat that was put up where Nick Jacobs said that we blitzed him, I think, 34% of the downs this week, which was higher than the previous 2 matchups that we had against Burrow. But I still think that it was timely, points in times where we picked and choose kind of where we were going to blitz.
Exactly.
I don't think that happens this week. I think Spags is going to bring the house a lot. I think he's going to really test, Kirk Cousins. Obviously, his mobility is kind of hampered at this point with the injury. So I think that they try to send as much pressure as they can to kind of test that injury, see if he can move, and manipulate the pocket like he's been able to, or like he, previously might have been able to in certain points. We all know that Kirk Cousins is not the most mobile guy in this, in this league, so kind of get him moving off his spot, and kind of just get him a little bit frustrated in that pocket, making him think. I think that also will force him to make some throws that he may not want to make at certain points in time. So I think Spags can be a little bit more loose with this game, especially with his coverages on the back end. So I think you see a lot of more exotic blitzes, things of that nature. Probably a lot more Leo Chanel, you know, going in there and trying to bring Kirk down at this point. My main focus, man, would be Bijan Robinson in open space. Is obviously going to have to be to practice this week. Tackling two, three guys on him at one point in time if you need to be. And when you get there, make sure you hit and you wrap up, because he's definitely, obviously being a Texas fan, I've watched a lot of Bijan Robinson. And if you let him get in open space and make a move, you're gonna miss. You're definitely gonna miss. I definitely think that should be a point of emphasis this week for that defense to be really sound in their tackling. And they've done that, I think, for the last couple years, especially since Spags has been here. You can kind of see that the emphasis on tackling has really been important for that defensive side of the ball. So I expect our defense to really go out there and have a day. Hopefully Kirk gives us a couple turnovers, which we know.
Definitely going to sprinkle a little on the interception. Yeah. Not gonna lie, yeah.
Hopefully he gives us a ball a little bit. But since you talked about that, let's get into what we all like, you know. I'll say this, that this part of the show is brought to you by Bet the House, Discord, Sportsbook. If you guys want to join the Discord, the link is in CJ's bio on Twitter. So go join the Discord, man. We give our plays and bounce ideas and everything like that off of each other, man. If you're trying to make some money, you know, or just trying to have some fun with it, man, make the games a lot more interesting or whatever. It's a good, real good community. Trying to build it up at this point and give people, you know, a little bit of money in their pockets at this point. So,
you dig me?
Go join the Discord. Bet the house. Hit the link in the bio of CJ's Twitter. But what are some of your best bets and game predictions for this week?
A lot of good props this week. Obviously, like DG said, Kirk Cousins is not as fleet of foot. He's obviously not the most athletic player as he used to be coming off an Achilles injury, and he's older as well. So two of my favorite props I love this week are Chris Jones and George Karloftis, over half a sack. I expect both of them to get back in the backfield. Like DG said, we're going to bring some pressure. When we do that, I mean, some guys are going to be left on one-on-one blocks, and I fully expect George and Chris to have plenty of opportunities to get in the backfield. As the Eagles had, they just didn't actually capitalize on those opportunities. So I expect George Karloftis and Chris Jones to both get a sack. Those are both my defensive props, and anytime interception for Kirk Cousins as well. Offensively, my favorite props, I got to keep thinking. Go ahead, give you a couple of yours out, DG. I got a couple of offenses out that I like, but I want to see what you got first.
I think offensively, I'm looking at some of the games this week. I'll say for overall, for the games, I really think week three, this is probably the trend that I think a lot of the overs in this game, I think we get a lot of points this week. It was kind of defensive laden with some games last week, a couple low scoring games as far as the over. So a lot of these games, I kind of like the over in, I think it's the Eagles and Saints game. It's at 49.5. We've obviously seen what the Saints have been able to do the last couple weeks. And you know, Bijan kind of had his way in the run game against the Eagles, so I would definitely sprinkle some money on Carroll and maybe his yards as far as rushing this week. So I like that matchup for him. Another kind of matchup, Davante Adams against the Panthers. I love it. Anything Davante Adams against the Panthers.
Two tutties, first tutty. Yeah.
The Panthers suck right now. I don't think there's a lot of morale down there in Carolina. They're starting Andy Dalton this week over Bryce Young.
In 2024.
So I kind of think the Panthers have already kind of given up on their season. I don't know if they're going to win a game or whatever at this point. So if you like Davante Adams, you might like a lot of his props in this game as well too. Not really sure where his line is at, but I do think it's a very, very favorable matchup for him. And then the last game I'll probably talk about is Lions and Cardinals. I love the matchup in that game. I probably would take the Cardinals with the points. It's Detroit -3 at this point in time.
They spread kind of move. Yeah, I figured they would have been more than that.
The line is set, so you can make it. There's a little bit of value in betting on the Cardinals at this point. I don't think Vegas really believes in them.
They covered a lot of first half last year. Yeah, that's not shocking. Yeah.
So if you like Gardner Minshew, not Gardner. Well, yeah, probably.
He did play well against the Ravens, so we can't. Really
and I would expect his line to be a little bit low. You know, I don't think Vegas really respects Gardner Minshew throwing the ball either as well. So his line is probably pretty.
They cashed out last week. He snapped on the Ravens.
Yeah. And if obviously if Davante Adams is going to go off, then that obviously means Gardner Minshew is probably going to hit the over on his as well too. But back to Cardinals and Lions, I would take probably Cardinals at +3 or maybe even alternate that and put it up, you know, maybe by a touchdown or something like that on a parlay.
That's a good parlay piece.
Or whatever, sure. And see what happens with that. So we'll get back to your best props and bets and how you feel about week 3.
I would definitely go with as far as ATDs this week. I love Travis Kelce. I know he's had a bad 2 weeks. I know it's been a struggle time, but obviously this is a more usually NFC teams are often usually performs better against, and obviously they don't really get to see Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid as much, so they aren't familiar. And so I wasn't really expecting Travis Kelce to have really a crazy first 2 weeks, given the fact we were going against Lou Anarumo, one of the better DCs in the league, and then the Ravens, who we literally just played in the AFC Championship game in January, so in the same calendar year. So I fully expected them to have a key point of, hey, we're not going to let 87 beat us. He just beat us in the biggest moment of our lives. We're not going to let him do it again to start the season. So since he's had a bad first 2 weeks, this is a great value spot to buy in on Travis Kelce. I looked at his prop DG. His catches are at 4.5. Mm-hmm. His yards are at 47.5. Now, usually – a normal stat line for Travis Kelce is like 67 yards and 65, and his catches are usually at 6.5. So they've adjusted to like, all right, he had a bad first 2 weeks. So this is a great buy low spot for Travis Kelce to have 5 catches and 50 yards. That's a normal day in the office for Kelce. So if they leave him 1-on-1, like Kyle said, and an opportunity versus Jesse Bates, I kind of love that matchup for Kelce. I love Jesse Bates. He's a great safety. But if you're giving me a 4.5 catch prop for Travis Kelce, I'm taking that every day of the week. It's indoors, like to DG's point, Pat loves playing indoors. NFC teams don't really see us too much, so we usually play better against NFC defenses. They don't have as much film on us as AFC teams do. So I love Travis Kelce this week. I love his ATD. I love his yards over 47.5. I love his catches over 4.5 as well. So I expect a big bounce back week from Travis Kelce. I think we get a game from him this week. 2 weeks to kind of get acclimated, get back in.
We'll get CJ back in a second. Sorry, y'all.
Here
you go.
Chris Kelly had like 2 weeks where he well. I fully expect D coordinators and this week more on Raheem Morris to kind of maybe key on. All right, I'm not gonna let Raheem Rice go off and have 100 yards on us this week. So you give me a 4.5 and 45 yard prop line for Travis Kelce. I'm taking that every day because it's probably never gonna be this low again for a while. But if he has a big game and has what, let's say Travis Kelce goes 6 for 60 like he normally does and scores a touchdown, that's a normal day at the office for Trav. So this might be a great week. You can actually get great value on number 87 because you haven't seen a number this low in a very long time. He's always at 6 catches or 60 yards. So that's probably my favorite offensive prop this week, among other things. But I fully expect 1587 to be back at work this week for sure.
I think our game, I love the over for Pat, especially, like I said, a dome stadium hates to see Patrick Mahomes coming. So usually when conditions are perfect and it's a nice 75 degrees inside, Patrick Mahomes usually lights it up. So I would expect a really big game from him as well to probably have – they probably have his line at half, 1.5 touchdowns.
Usually something like that.
I'd probably take
usually that. 1.5. I'll take the over on that too. Yeah.
Especially this week. And I think his lines will probably be a little bit lower too, just because of the last 2 weeks that he's had as well too. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a good, this is a really good week. I think to really, you know, bet on some games. Week 1, I think was a really good week just because it's the first week of the season and, you know, Vegas likes to fatten people up. I think week 2, they made a little bit of money off of you guys this week.
They got their bread back.
Got their bread back a little bit, especially with a lot of those underdogs at this point in time. You know, so it is what it is, man. You got to know the trends and play the game the right way. But, you know, all in all, just have fun with it. you know, it's never that serious or whatever, where you gotta, you know, be upset or angry or whatever. And if you have an issue, call the number.
1-800-GAMBLER is available. We don't want anyone.
Please gamble responsibly, please.
We're gonna put it at the bottom of the limits. We don't get
Know your limits, man. Know when to stop. You know,
don't literally bet the house. It's just a joke. We just say that to get the everybody going. So
yeah, man. You know, keep that. Sometimes just keep that philosophy that, you know, just make a parlay to make the game a lot more interesting.
Make it a little fun. Make you some gas money this week. That's the goal.
Yeah, you know, you don't have to go overboard with it or anything like that. So, you know, last little bit of news we're going to get to is our NFL power rankings. As you guys see at the bottom of the screen, this week is kind of a little bit different. The top 10 teams in the league. Of course, we start off, as always, with, you know, our beloved Kansas City Chiefs holding down the number one spot. Again, I feel like even though it was a close game with the Bengals, you know, these last 2 weeks, that was two tough opponents to have to kind of go up against in your first 2 weeks of the season. And they handled it pretty well and able to come out 2-0. Bills at number two, kind of surprising to me because they I didn't really expect them to be as good as they were, especially with the loss of certain people that they had this year, especially on that defensive side of the ball. But Josh Allen is not turning over the ball at this point in time.
He played clean football. Yeah.
They're running the ball really, really well. James Cook is you know, emerging as
he on my fantasy team backs.
He's on one of my fantasy teams too. Emerging as one of the better backs in this league. And then that defense, especially last Thursday against Tua, and prayers up to Tua, man.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Tua, bro.
But able to turn him over a couple times and get the ball back for Josh Allen. So Bills have been looking good. At three, we got the Texans, C.J. Stroud and them. Obviously getting a big dub on Sunday night over the Chicago Bears. Looking good at this point in time or wherever. That defensive line is scary.
They playing
very,
some good ball,
very scary. Yeah.
They playing some good ball.
D'Amico Ryans has definitely got a good thing going. I think them getting Daniil Hunter was obviously a huge, huge pickup for them. And it's helped out another young edge rusher in Will Anderson Jr. as well, too. I think at four, we got the Saints. Saints have been impressive the last 2 weeks. Obviously,
man.
Put up the most points out of any team in the league. Five is the Bucks. Six is the Lions. That was actually a really good game on Sunday, one of the early noon games between the Bucks and Lions, a playoff rematch or whatever. Bucks were able to come out with the win, but
they covered that spread. They covered it.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield has been looking pretty good. Over these last couple of weeks, I expect them to kind of be – I think they're going to be a contender on that NFC side, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's kind of wonky over there or whatever with some of the quarterback play. But, you know, Lions, obviously, Aiden Hutchinson was on another planet on Sunday.
He had five sacks. And they lost is crazy.
Yeah, and they lost. It's still crazy though, but man, he's really emerging as one of the more elite pass rushers in this league. I think we got the 49ers. Sorry, it's seven.
Yep.
Yeah, 49ers at seven. Obviously, the loss to Minnesota Vikings was what it was. But at the end of the day, I still think that Niners have one of the better rosters.
They're dealing with it right now. Yeah,
they're dealing with some injuries.
Debo's out, CMC's out. Man.
Yeah, hopefully they can get healthy, and I still think that they'll be a top contender in on that NFC side as well too. Chargers with Jim Harbaugh are 2-0. Justin Herbert is playing really well. I know a lot of people will probably look at the opponents that they've played in the Raiders and in the Panthers, but you know you can only play who's on your schedule at this point in time. And they went down to Carolina and they dominated. Carolina.
As you should.
It's not a game at all. And I think that Jim Harbaugh has definitely come in there and changed that philosophy around that team. Seahawks at 9, 2-0. Moving on as well, too. Went up there and beat New England.
In New England.
Thrilling game in overtime. Shout out to, actually, I will say,
without Kenneth Walker, very impressive.
Yeah, shout out to New England as well too. They've played very impressive over these last couple of weeks or whatever. So they're going to be a tough out, I think, for a lot of teams in this league. And then that leads me to my last team, the Minnesota Vikings. Man, Sam Darnold,
big dub,
played well. Kevin O'Connell big has dub. Got that offense humming up there. Jettis looks like Jettis this year, and I think the Minnesota Vikings, I think, are probably going to be a sneaky playoff team if they continue to play at this level. That defense also is playing really well, flying around. I seen some things on film from them. The defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, is obviously, you know, calling really good games or whatever, doing a lot of exotic things up there or whatever. So they're going to give a lot of people fits or whatever. But that's our power rankings. What's your overall thoughts before we get out of here?
Nothing crazy. I think everybody needs to appreciate the win we have versus Cincinnati even more. The same way we turned the ball over three times, guess who else had three turnovers on Sunday? Yeah. San Francisco 49ers. Or not the 49ers. The Minnesota Vikings had three turnovers. And they still found a way to win the game, obviously. So usually when you turn the ball over three times, usually you lose. So the fact that the Niners were able to get three turnovers and still lose a football game is usually very very concerning, because when you turn the ball over three times, is I think it's 90% of the time when that happens, you lose the game. So we turn the ball over three times, we still figured out a way to win, which during a game, I said it on my Twitter, this is championship pedigree this team has shown right now. So the fact that we did do that this early in the season and we still figured out a way to win, that shows you everything you need to know about this organization, this coach staff, and this roster. And no matter what happens, this team always finds a way to keep themselves in game. So outside of that, no – there were some good wins. Obviously, the Lions, I had the Bucs go in there covering that spread. It was 7.5, I think, coming into that game. So they really just played them in the playoffs. So that they played them in a tough, big moment. So I didn't think the Lions were a touchdown team better than the Bucs. So the fact that they did win that game wasn't shocking to me at all. And still, I can't believe Aiden Hutchinson had 5 sacks and they still lost. It's crazy. There's been a lot of the biggest story, obviously, outside of the rank of DG has been the injuries, man. There's been so many injuries this beginning of the season. We dealing with Pacheco, CMC is out, Debo's out, AJ Brown maybe out a couple of weeks. We got news Joe Mixon's out today, among plenty of other names, Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua. So many guys have been dealing with injuries. So that's why I think there's been so many unders catching, like DG said earlier, because there's so many guys just not playing. And you can't really take guys to teams to hit their overs if some of their best weapons aren't on the field. So definitely be cautious of that. I posted a lot of good props in my Discord if y'all want to hit the link in my bio on Twitter, because I think there will be a lot of unders for a lot of players, just because if a lot of teams explosive guys aren't there, it's going to be hard to put a lot of points on the board when you don't have your best guys out there. So, I think it's a good week for some unders on some certain QBs that I like. Definitely tap in. I got some good opportunities for everyone to make some cash this week. But, yeah, I love Chiefs money line. I know the spread is probably going to be moving the closer we get to the game, obviously because we lost Pacheco and everything, and the books are probably still trying to figure it out how they want to play us. But I fully expect the Chiefs to go in there and win the game, handle business. I love the overs for us to be more explosive on offense as well. But, no, it's going to be a good week, man. A lot of opportunity for some cash and the rankings. I think we're going to see a lot of guys move up, and there could be some big upsets this week. I'll give some good upset picks on my Twitter. I'll give those out too. But I like a lot of good ones this week for sure.
Well, man, Chiefs Kingdom, we love you, man. We appreciate y'all for tapping in with us. For DG, CJ, and D-Mac as well. D-Mac will probably be back with us next week, man. Tell the truth. Follow Kingdom Cast on Twitter. Follow CJ at CGZ81 on Twitter. Sir, follow me at _ keep it prolific. And join the Discord, man. Like I said, join the Discord. Bet the house, man. We like I said, there's a lot of great advice and plays over there. Come over and try to tell and make some money with us, man. So, for CJ and DG, out, baby. Love you.
Gang, gang.
Cheese.
Cheese.